today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Some of you are back there saying, well, you know, I don't know about marriage. It's like that comedian stood up in his opening line as he had a routine on marriage. He said, if you're single, you're lonely. If you're married, you're bored. And a lot of people have bought that lie. Folks, God gave us marriage. And then he gives us in the very first marriage ceremony in Genesis chapter 2, the five things that will take any marriage. If you've been married 5 minutes or 50 years, it makes no difference.
The truth is, God gave us a proven model for a healthy marriage. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Intimacy, and explores how Adam and Eve can show you how to have a sizzling marriage. That's coming up in just a moment on The Winning Walk. But before we get to today's message, we want to help you read God's Word with fresh eyes in 2022 by sending you the one-year chronological Bible. This unique resource will give you a better understanding of the order of biblical events and the historical context in which they unfolded, because the books, chapters, and even the verses are arranged in the order the events actually happened. And with simple 15-minute daily readings, the one-year chronological Bible will help you stay engaged and encouraged all year long. We'll send you a copy of the one-year chronological Bible as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Intimacy.
In our culture, I think we all know that marriage is in trouble. The Bible begins with marriage in Genesis chapter 2. We know that Genesis 1 is an account of creation. Genesis 2 is a commentary, an explanation of chapter 1, which dealt with creation. We read in the Bible in chapter 1, six straight good. God created. He said, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. And then the last part of chapter 1, he says, it's very good. He had created man out of dust in his image. And then in chapter 2, he tells us that God breathed into man life. Image of God, now breath came into man. An Italian director was writing a movie on the Bible, and he wondered how in the world he'd picture creation. God creating man, mankind. And it was a foggy kind of mist. And then the mist began to sort of coagulate, and there was a body on the ground, the creation of man. Now, was that body laying on the ground or lying on the ground? Objects, inanimate objects that are not alive, lay. Living things lie. There was this inanimate body created by dust, which was man in chapter 1, but in chapter 2, we can say, not that he was laying on the ground, inanimate, when God breathed into him through his nostrils, he breathed to him life, and now he is lying on the ground. He's alive. And the movie depicted man standing to his own feet. Six, it is good. One, it is very good. And then finally, we see an assignment was given to Adam, to man, to name all the beasts that had been created. What an assignment. That idea in heaven, we're going to be strumming on harps or floating around in clouds. God's going to give us wonderful, creative, unperceived, unimagined assignments to carry out for him throughout eternity. What anticipation, what excitement this must be for all of us. And here was Adam, first man, and God is parading by him animals he had to name. Naming all the animals, all the birds. To name something indicates authority over it. And Adam had given the assignment of being a steward, of being a shepherd, of being one who presided for all of creation. What a magnificent assignment, ladies and gentlemen. And now God says, name the animals, and how quickly did he do it? I think he took his time. The Bible pictures God leading one animal out and Adam looking and praying and searching out the characteristic of that animal. And he finds it's an aardvark. And the next animal would come out and it would be, what will I name this animal? And he named it a hippopotamus. Doesn't a hippopotamus look like a hippopotamus? Good name, isn't it? And God named all the animals, but as the animals were paraded by, Adam didn't see anything that would complete him. He didn't see the other half of himself until he went to sleep, and God performed a divine operation. He took a rib out of his side, took that rib, and made woman. The rest of man. Man, the rest of woman. Out of his side, not out of his foot, so he would dominate. Not out of his head, so he'd be superior. But out of his side, so there would be equality there. And there would be protection there under his arm. And it would be close to his heart. And there we have the beautiful picture of Adam and Eve. And then we have the first marriage performed in the Bible. But marriage is in trouble. Marriage is suspect. The homosexual community has tried to redefine marriage for us. God has already defined it. God invented marriage. God tells us what marriage is all about. But we're worried about it because we know that 50% of all marriages end in divorce. I dare say half of us here have gone through a divorce. And so we know it is a precarious thing. Someone said it's a dangerous institution to be a part of. I remember when I got married a long time ago. I dated my wife 6.5 years. And before the ceremony, I remember standing out on the side saying, you know, my friend said this is a good time to run. I didn't know if I wanted to be a part of an institution. And we've made marriage something that the young people look at and say, you know, I don't know if I want to be a part of this. And so they live together. They cohabit without being married, thinking, well, this is the way I'll improve upon the family from which I came. We'll have a trial period here. What they don't realize that those who live together before they're married, they have a smaller chance of getting married than those who do not. And those who live together before they're married, when they do get married, the odds of them being divorced are astronomical. But still, you have 50%. But what we don't know is that so many of these 50% are those who dropped out of school before they were 18, pregnancy was involved, and they got married. And that's the reason, the primary reason divorce rate is so high. What we don't look at is that when two young people finish their education and they are genuinely Christians, not, well, he used to go to the Presbyterian church or he was christened or whatever, but they're genuinely practicing Christians, and they get married when they're 25 or later, you know what divorce rate is for those in that category? It is microscopic. God's way works. But we're frightened about marriage. Man, we say, you know, we work on a demerit system. We see that for many husbands. I pulled this out of an old file. It's the wife's demerit system for her husband. Make the bed, plus one, guys. Make the bed, but forget the decorative pillows, minus 10. Go out and buy her something she really wants, plus 5. In the rain, plus 8. But return with a new set of golf clubs, minus 6. What about detective duties of a male? You check out a suspicious noise at night, plus 1. You check out a suspicious noise and it's nothing. No points for that. You check out a suspicious noise and it is something, plus 5. You strike something with one of your new golf clubs, plus 10. It's her pet schnauzer, minus 30. Social engagements. You stay by her side for the entire party. Plus 1, guys. You stay by her side for a while, but leave to chat with an old school friend. Minus 2. Her name is Tina. Minus 10. Your first girlfriend. Minus 20. Recently divorced, minus 40. A night out. You take her to a movie, plus 1. You take her to a chick flick, plus 5. You take her to a movie you like, minus 2. It's called Rambo Part 7, minus 8. Your physique, you develop a pot belly, minus 15, guys. You develop a pot belly but exercise to get rid of it, plus 10. You develop a pot belly and have a fantasy for baggy Hawaiian shirts, minus 30. The big question she asks, do I look fat? Minus 5, guys, just by her asking the question. You paused a bit too long before responding, minus 10. You reply, honey, it doesn't matter. I love you just the way you are. Minus 35, it doesn't make any difference. You give any other response, minus 10. When she says, do I look fat, you've lost any way you answer that question. Communication. You listen when she wants to talk about a problem with a concerned expression. Plus 2, guys. You listen for over 30 minutes without glancing at the TV. Plus 50. You listen for more than 30 minutes without trying to fix it, guys. Plus 500. But then she realizes because you've fallen asleep, minus 4,000. Who needs this? What husband needs this? Would the wife lift the hand? It's a he needs it desperately. All right. Boy, she was just jumping up and down. This belongs to you, sir. Your wife got it for you. You know, it's amazing. It's a staggering truth that God tells us how to have an exciting, dynamic, fulfilling marriage that sizzles, and we have to deal with it before we get married or after we get married, but God's principles work every single time. Isn't that something? It's still we don't get it. We don't trigger it. We don't put it in practice. Let's ask the question, if you get married, okay? Marriage is not a requirement. It's not a right that everybody has. There's a lot of magnificent singles in our church who has sublimated marriage, and they give themselves to the church and the kingdom in a fabulous way. If we didn't have them, we couldn't open the doors. I'll tell you that. So marriage isn't a right. But if you get married, let me tell you where you begin. You begin with what is a calling of every Christian, and that is to know and to live out the will of God. What is the will of God? I've got to find it. No, the basic will of God is we know Christ, we be saved. Number two, we're in the process of sanctification. We're growing in our faith. Number three, we are serving in the church and serving others. And number four, we're submissive to those we're supposed to be submissive to. When these things are operating in your life, you're in the will of God. And then trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what you're doing. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your life. So you begin, if you're going to be married, it's not a right, but we live in the will of God, and then we discover who we're going to marry if we're single. By the way, I'm just talking to those who are single and married. Everybody else, don't pay any attention. Wayne thinks there's another category. Don't let him in on it. And so, who do you marry? A Christian? A genuine Christian? That's who you marry. How in the world any marriage survives when one has this rule book, another this rule book, and this is what I want, this is what I'm about, this is what God would have? How in the world? So you marry a Christian, that first of all. That's the first standard you look for. And then, well, how do you figure out who? Adam went to sleep, remember? And he awakened, up, there she is. In a sense, that's what we do. We go to sleep in the will of God, and we see what happens. And it happens when what? When we're fulfilling the great commandment. Love God, love yourself, love your neighbor. And when you love God with your whole heart as best you can, and you learn how to love yourself, that's the hardest challenge for us to do. I talk to myself all that, what an idiot you are. You are a Fruit Loop. You're crazy. What are you thinking? I mean, I get mad at number one all the time. I hope you do as well. But we have to learn to love ourselves. And then we love God and we love ourselves. We love our neighbor. And in loving our neighbor, we'll begin to love our closest neighbor. And our closest neighbor will become a friend. And if that friendship catches fire, there is your mate. So we have to work through this process. It's God's process. And the results are magnificent. And then He gives us in the very first marriage ceremony in Genesis chapter 2, the five things that will take any marriage, if you've been married 5 minutes or 50 years, it makes no difference. Some of you are back there saying, well, you know, I don't know about marriages. It's like that comedian stood up in his opening line as he had a routine on marriage. He said, if you're single, you're lonely. If you're married, you're bored. And a lot of people have bought that lie. Folks, God gave us marriage. It is to be exciting, dynamic, fulfilling, creative, magnificent. And if you think, well, that can't happen to me, it's because you haven't put into practice the basic fundamental steps that makes a dynamic marriage and a marriage that sizzles. Now, if you want to stay like you are, don't pay any attention to it. Just surrender. I'm content just to hang in there and stay with her, or I'm going to stay with him through thick and my glory. The law of gravity works, right? You haven't seen any whole law. the laws and the principles of God about marriage work every single time, whatever stage you're in. Let's look at them. First of all, the first reason your marriage is, the first thing you do is you leave. You leave father and mother. A lot of marriages start off in trouble because one or one of the mates holds on to the relationship with the mom or dad or some other person. When you get married, you leave those relationships. Not that you don't talk with your parents, you commune with your parents, but they're not your friends, your best friend, your closest friend. You don't share with them all the intimacies of your marriage. You leave father and mother. And a lot of people in marriage haven't done that. Their first allegiance may be to father or mother or brother or sister or a friend or a prior relationship. When you say, I do, ladies and gentlemen, you leave and your primary direction of your life is devoted to your spouse, to your mate. That's where you start. That's where you start. Say, well, I didn't marry the whole family. Yes, you did. If you think that doesn't work, you married everything about the past, everything about the present, and the future of the person that you have taken on your arms. You said, I do, and they said, I will. You married the whole shooting match. Everyone, well, I didn't know I was marrying my mother-in-law. You certainly are. That's the givenness of it, and we have to leave. But before we get away from that first principle of making a marriage sizzle, you need to look at two marriages. If you're married now or you're about to get married, begin right now to get things together. Look at two marriages. Number one, look at the marriage of your parents, your father and your mother. I've asked in all the services the question of how many of you look at your parents and you can say they had a beautiful relationship. They love God, they love one another, married and perfectly celebrating marriage together. And I ask how many could say that. I could not say that with my mom and dad. But how many could say that? And let me ask that question. How many of you can say that? You look at your parents, you say, boy, their marriage was terrific. You just couldn't improve on it. Would you lift your hand? See, they're very, very few. These are the privileged few.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Colossians 3:16a. A young boy told his dad that he had studied the 23rd Psalm and the Beatitudes, but he knew he didn't remember all the verses. And he wondered if reading the Bible was worth it. The father said, "See that waste basket? Take it out back and fill it with water." It was made of wicker, so when the boy tried to fill it, the water ran right through the basket. He came back in and said, "Dad, that basket won't hold water." Then the father told the boy to look inside the waste basket and see how clean it had become. He said, "That's the way it is with God's word. When you read it and study it, it passes through your life. You won't remember it all, but it will clean up your life. It will clean up your act."
We hope today's message has encouraged you with a proven truth of God's Word. Remember that through every up and down in life, God's Word endures. And as you look forward to 2022, we want to help you find peace, purpose, and strength in Scripture every single day. That's why we're excited to send you the one-year chronological Bible as thanks for your gift to keep this broadcast going strong. With 365 daily 15-minute readings, it's the perfect way to read through the Bible in a year. And with the verses arranged according to when the biblical events actually occurred, you'll walk through God's story like you never have before. So call now to request your one-year chronological Bible as thanks for your gift. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255, or text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow to hear Dr. Young wrap up his message with more proven truth to help your marriage thrive.